for you. Praise the Lord. Father, I just ask now, O God, that you'll fill your Shamash, your servant's mouth this morning.
Yes,
with words that you want for your Shameshes, plural, your servants to hear.
Hallelujah.
Father, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare us for all that you desire to do in us. We ask now for instruction by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whose presence is here. That anything that I say today, if it be an error, may the Ruach clarify it as error and give a better definition of what I'm trying to say through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. To your name be all glory and honor and praise, Yeshua. God, our Heavenly Father, our Abba, and you, blessed Ruach, that we should never take advantage of you and never cause you to flee from our presence, as you have blessed us with your presence all the days of our lives, as the moment when we received Yeshua as our Messiah. Amen. This is a continuation in the series of Shamash. This would be number 9. I'm just going to get all this other stuff out of the way here so we can begin. Praise the Lord. You may be wondering, well, why did he take a little bottle in his hands today? If you'd like to turn with me to Tehillim, that is Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We see Yeshua portrayed in Scripture as both the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world and also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But there's also tenderness that we see from him and in him. So we're finding our way to Psalm 56. This was a psalm that was given by King David after and during the time when he was taken captive by the Philistines. Beginning at verse 8. You have counted my wanderings, and you store my tears in a water skin. Aren't they already recorded in your book? Then my enemies will turn back on the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God I praise his word. In Adonai I praise his word. In God I trust. I have no fear. What can mere humans do to me? God, I have made vows to you. I will fulfill them with thank offerings to you. For you rescued me from death. You kept my feet from stumbling, so that I can walk in God's presence in the light of life. This translation says that he carries it in his water skin. Another translation says he carries it in a bottle. That's how precious you are to the Lord. He knows every hair that's on your head. And he sees the day that when we enter into sorrow, he opens up that jar and he comes beside us and he captures those tears. That's how tender Adonai Yeshua is to us. Now let us turn to the book of Kefa. Chapter 1, 1 Kefa chapter 3. That would be 1 Peter. Thank you. No, that's fine. Praise the Lord. The Lord said, before I go into the other portion to go back here, I shared in this portion a few weeks ago where it spoke about Yeshua coming, dying on that stake, and descending to Sheol, Abraham's heart, Abraham's bosom. And let us begin at chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. See if I have it written down properly again. There it is. For Messiah himself died for our sins once and for all, a righteous person on behalf of unrighteous people, so that he might bring you to God. He has put death in the flesh and brought to life by the Spirit. In this form he went and made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, in the days of Noah, when God waited patiently during the building of the ark, in which a few people, to be specific, eight, were delivered by means of water. This also prefigures what delivers us now, the water of immersion, which is not the removal of dirt from the body, but one's pledge to keep a good conscience toward God. Through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. You'll notice that during the worship service, Lonnie made mention of that, where he is right now. A few weeks ago, I shared about Yeshua descending into Sheol. He entered into Abraham's heart, the heart of our father of faith. And there he embraced Father Abraham and Sarah. But he also embraced two other individuals. Those who were our parents, Adam and Hava. Can you imagine what that was like? Here he was, he descended and he walked therein. And he came up to his grandmother. What do you mean, grandmother? You see, he was called to be what? The promised seed. And when she disobeyed God's word, and she went and ate of the fruit of that tree, she was separated from God. The same with our father, who had full knowledge, Adam. He had full knowledge and understanding. Because he saw Yeshua in the garden, and Yeshua said to him this, do not eat of that tree. He heard that directly from him. See, our mother Hava, she was deceived by the serpent, Hasatan. But Adam, in full knowledge, knew. So can you imagine that now? Here's the promised seed. He now walks into Sheol there. He greets Abraham and Sarah. But now he walks up to his grandparents. Two Gentiles. And he goes up to them. And they look at his face. And you know what they recognize? They see his eyes. What does Genesis say? Genesis says this. Adonai took clay from the earth and he formed it and he shaped it in his image and in his likeness. And when it was fully complete, our father, Adam, he took him in his arms and he breathed His Ruach, His Spirit into him, and he became alive. His eyes were open, and whom did he see? Yeshua, his salvation. So now this person walks into Sheol. And Adam recognizes him. Who's next to Adam? Hava, our mother. What does the scripture say? Your child pains will increase, but from you shall come the promised seed. She believed when she gave birth to Cain, that he was going to be the promised seed. And she believed in her heart, the fullness of her heart, that she would be able to be reconciled to God through her son, Cain. But we see what happened with him. He killed his own brother. God allowed relationships between Hava and Adam. And they had another son, and his name was Seth. And we go through the generations there. So now the scripture says that God caused, Adonai Yeshua caused a great sleep to come upon Adam our father in the garden. He sent him out a few days prior to that to search throughout all the garden to see if there was a potential helpmate to him. And there was not one. So he caused a great sleep to come upon him. He opened up his side, just as our brother testified today about his shoulder and socket and those portions of his body fully and completely healed. That's testimony of God, not some foreign God in a book that forgot about us, but a God who is present in our everyday situation and wants to heal us and transform us and complete us. So, Adonai Yeshua opened up his side and he removed a rib. I heard one rabbi say the reason why he did not take one of his foot bones from Adam because he did not want to have Adam as a oppressive relationship with his wife, Hava, Eve. But he took it from the rib, close to his heart. And it says in the scripture that he took that bone while Adam was sleeping, and he formed it and he shaped it in his hands. After he formed our mother, he breathed the Ruach into her body. And her eyes were open, and whom did she see? Yeshua, her salvation. Now we're back now in Sheol. Abraham's side, his heart. And who does she see? He comes not to her or to Adam as the lion of the tribe of Judah, but the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the world. Because it was Yeshua who took the lamb in the garden after our mother and father had sinned, killed that animal, offered it its meat and blood as an offering to God, the Father, and took the skins of that animal and clothed our mother and father. That was Yeshua. Some may say to me, how can you say that it was Yeshua? Because the scripture says, no man, no woman has seen the Father. Yeshua declared that. Only he has seen the Father. That's what the scripture says. Can you imagine the reconciliation there? How tender that is between the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world and his grandparents who were Gentiles. And later in generations, Avraham, the very first Jewish man, after the age of 99, he was circumcised. And from him came what? The Jewish nation. It's been Jew and Gentile from the very beginning.
Amen.
And it shall be in the end. We are one people in that it's through faith. Abraham believed God, a righteous Gentile before he was circumcised. That's what the scripture says. And some of us from a Jewish background will say, wait a second. What are you doing here? That's sacrilege. No, it's not. That's why in the scripture it says there is no distinction between Jew or the nations. I know we have it written Greek. Male or female. Slave or free. It is by faith. Just as Adam taught his son Abel and Cain how to sacrifice lambs, believing in the promise of the Lamb of God that would one day come, the promised seed, to take away all the sins of the world. We enjoyed Adonai Yeshua's Seder today. That points back to the garden. He declared, no one takes my life. I lay it down of my own free will. Remember him in the garden when he was struggling and he was praying before the Father and he said, Father, is there any other way? And I know in the scripture we read on ahead, but we should really pause there. Yeshua revealed his humanity. Yes, he was God manifested in the flesh. But also he was a human being. And that is why he can come and he can take and collect our tears and inscribe our names on the Lamb's Book of Life or in the synagogue on Yom Kippur, the Book of Life. That's a greeting. May your name be inscribed in the book of life. And it's not written there with ink. It is written by the blood of Yeshua. Amen. HaMashiach, our Messiah. And the accuser of the brethren, HaSatan, when our names are inscribed, he cannot erase it. And it's a blessing to know that we have the Ruach HaKodesh who brings to us when we do sin that we may go before our eternal high priest, Yeshua HaMashiach, and ask for forgiveness. The early portion today of the Torah reading dealt with the Mishkan, HaMishkan, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. That dealt with that portion there that there was a first HaMishkan, a tabernacle, a tent of meeting that is in heaven.
That's right.
We don't know where the original HaMishkan is. If you and I were to go on the Temple Mount, we would not find a temple there. But the promises of the HaMishkan are eternal. For they are in heaven. And who ascended to the Father to be our eternal high priest and did not bring in bulls and goat's blood, but his own blood. And he's the one that stands before the Father, our advocate, that we may walk in holiness and righteousness one to another. Now let us turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 53. After Yeshua rose, they came out of the graves. And they went to the holy city, where many people saw them. When the Roman officer and those with him who were keeping watch over Yeshua saw the earthquake and what was happening, they were awestruck. And they said, "He really was the Son of God." It says here that the holy ones of Israel came out of their graves. Now let us turn quickly to Psalm 16, verse 5. Telehim. It's page 802 if you're reading the complete Jewish Bible. Adonai, my assigned portion, my crop. You safeguard my share. Pleasant places were measured out for me. I am content with my heritage. I bless Adonai, my counselor. At night, my innermost being instructs me. I always set Adonai before me. With him at my right hand, I can never be moved, so that my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My body to rest in safety, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not let your faithful one see the abyss. You will make me know the path of life, and in your presence is unbounded joy. In your right hand, eternal delight. We were just visiting Sheol there in 1 Kefa. David knew that that wasn't going to be his eternal resting place. His hope and his pleasure was in Adonai. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 1. As we're turning there, there was a man at the time of Yeshua's Brit Milah that was in the temple. His name was Simon or Simeon. And the Lord had promised him that before he would die, he would literally see and behold his Yeshua. The scripture says that he saw him and he went up to him, whose mother, Miriam, was holding him along with his father, Yosef. And he took Yeshua out of the mother's arms. And he prophesied to them that this was the Messiah. And he was the promised one. And that there would be many that would be lifted up and raised low because of him. And then he turned to Miriam and he looked into her eyes and he said, "Your own heart will be pierced with a sword." He spoke to her about Yeshua being crucified in this portion. After he was with them, it says that a woman came up to them, and her name was Anna. She served the Lord both day and night in prayer and fastings. And she recognized who Yeshua was. Yeshua died over 33 and a half years after that day. For him to be there to receive his Brit Milah, his circumcision, he had to be what? 8 days old. And he was being dedicated to the Lord. And they took what? 2 pigeons there to be sacrificed. Because every firstborn male child was what? To be ransomed back from the Lord. That's what the scripture says. So now can you imagine? 33 and a half years later, Anna, who was 84 years old, it doesn't tell us how old Simon Shimon is here, but he had died by that time. And that earlier scripture there where I read about Matthew, and it said that the holy ones of Israel arose. Scripture doesn't clearly state this, but I know of two who knew Yeshua as a baby, that prophesied over them and recognized that he was the salvation of the Most High God. And can you imagine them walking in to their families' homes and presenting them and saying, "This is the one who has raised me from the dead"? How many times have you read Matthew chapter 27 there and possibly missed that? So now we're in the book of Acts. And we're in chapter 1 and verse 3. After his death, he showed himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs, Yeshua, that he was alive during the period of 40 days that they saw him. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. At one of these gatherings, he instructed them to leave Jerusalem. Not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father, for what the Father had promised, which you have heard about me. For Yohanan used to immerse people in water, but in these few days you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. So if we're counting the Omer 40 days after Pesach, how many more days do we have to wait for Shavuot? 10. 50. Pentecost. Thank you, Rabbi, for that clarification. When they were together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel?" He answered, "You don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under his authority. But you'll receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Yehuda, Judah, and Sharon, Samaria. Indeed, to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up before their eyes in a cloud. What was our Torah portion today speaking of? A cloud. Let's continue. A cloud that hid him from their sight. As they were staring into the sky after him, suddenly they saw two men dressed in white standing next to them. The men said, "You Galileans, why are you standing staring into space?" Ever been there? My wife tells me that probably once or twice a week. "This is Yeshua who has been taken away from you into heaven. He will come back to you just the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So what are we supposed to be doing when we're caught up in our tough situation here on earth? Look up on high, for your redemption comes. Praise be to his name. Let us now continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to hear from Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, on this matter. Can you imagine what this book would be if that rabbi who was on the way to Damascus to arrest those who were walking in the way, following and serving Yeshua, if he would have never repented? God would have had to raise up someone else. But through his repentance and loving kindness to God, as Sister Marcia shared today, he declared himself the chief of all sinners. Praise God that we have in the body of Messiah the chief of all sinners. Rav Shaul. We are enriched by him. So, you know, you may see somebody out there, one of your relatives, that, as Marcia said today, is just one big stinker. That person could be used to turn this world right side up again. By the literal power of God. And that person, I'm not saying stinks, is in here right now, but can you imagine what God could do with our lives if we fully and totally yield ourselves to him? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I know a man in union with Messiah who was 14 years ago was snatched up into the third heaven. Have you ever been there? I haven't, but I've heard testimonies. Watch Sid Roth. He shares a lot of them. Whether he was in the body or outside the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know. But God knows, was snatched into Gan Eden and heard things that cannot be put into words, things unlawful for human beings to utter. Can you imagine that? Seeing and being in the very presence of God in heaven. And you know, all these things that Paul has written in this book, that the Ruach HaKodesh allowed us to read for it to be preserved to this day. And God had to say, no, put a muzzle on that. Can you imagine the things that are awaiting us in heaven? Such great and glorious things. Now let us turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Messianic Jews chapter 10. And verse 10. Page 1503, if you're following in the complete Jewish Bible. Look, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first system in order to set up a second. It is connection with this will that we have been separated for God and made holy once and for all through the offering of Yeshua, Messiah's body. Now, every Kohen stands every day doing his service, offering over and over the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this one, Yeshua, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. And from then on, to wait until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. You afraid of the devil? You afraid of any nation that would rise up against you? You shouldn't be. The worst thing they can do is kill you. They cannot separate you from your destiny in God. And you know what? There is a crown for martyrs. And you know what all those martyrs are going to do one day when they're standing in heaven and they're wearing their martyrs' crowns? They're going to take them off and cast them before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they're going to lay down prostrate before him. So all the rewards that we receive on this earth and the rewards that we won't receive on this earth that are waiting for us for in heaven are to his glory and to his honor. Let us continue. Verse 14, for by a single offering he has brought to the goal for all time those who are being set apart for God and made holy. That's you and I. You are being set apart and you're being made holy by whom? My efforts? No. But by the Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ruach HaKodesh too bears witness to us after saying, this is the covenant which I make with them after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah in their hearts. It's good to memorize Torah. It's good to study it. But how much better to allow the Ruach to place the Torah in our hearts and write it on their minds. Rabbi Bruce said many times, there were times when he would come and stand be where I'm standing right now, and the Lord would just give him a couple scriptures, and he would just go. He didn't have notes all the time. He got downloads. See where Rabbi Bruce got that from? He will put Torah and write it in their minds. And then he adds, and their sins and their wickedness, I will remember no more. Praise God. No more. They don't exist. Praise God. Now let us turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're getting a workout today, are we not? It's good to get a workout, spiritual workout. If you're looking in the complete Jewish Bible, it's page 1470. No, I do not get paid for endorsing this book. Mr. Stern is not sending me these little checks. But it is a good book. All God's Word is excellent, no matter what translation that the Lord has you in at any stage in your life. I got 26 translations of the Bible in a 4-volume set. So I get blessed by all these different translations too. But the Lord says, stay right here. Could you imagine how long the message would be if I was going through 26 translations? Praise God, someone should say, amen. Let's go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We pray that you will be continually strengthened with the power that comes from His glorious might, so that you will be able to preserve and be patient in any situation, joyfully giving thanks to the Father for having made you fit to share in the inheritance of His people in the light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Yeshua. It is through His Son, Yeshua, that you have redemption. That is, our sins have been forgiven. He, Yeshua, is the visible image of the invisible God. In the Tanakh, in the Haftorah, and the Brit Hadashah, He is the visible representation of God the Father. Did He not say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? Let's continue. Whether Yeshua's thrones, lordship, rulers, or authorities, they have all been created through Him and for Him. He existed before all things. He holds everything together. Also, He, Yeshua, is the head of the body of the Messianic community. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might hold first place in everything. For it pleased God to have His full being live in Yeshua, His Son, and through His Son, Yeshua, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through Him, Yeshua, through having His Son shed His blood by being executed on a stake. In other words, you who are at one time were separated from God and had a hostile attitude towards Him because of your wicked deeds, He now has reconciled in the Son, Yeshua, physical body through His death in order to present you holy and without defect. Do you hear that, honey? I have no defects in Yeshua. Amen? Now that is a word of faith, isn't it, my brothers and sisters? Continuing. Defect or reproach before Him. Provided, of course... Oh, stop right there, Frank. Don't go any further. I'm not. This is what Rav Shaul said to the Colossian Messianic believers. Provided, of course, that you continue in your keeping Torah. Keep trusting by faith. Our father Abraham was called the friend of God. Why? Because he gave tithes to Melchizedek? No. Because he believed in the promise of the one yet to come. Hope offered in the good news that you have heard. The good news. Now in closing, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Lord told me when I was a young believer, he said, whenever you go to the book of Revelation, know this, it comes with both a blessing and a curse. A blessing for those who read and seek after God's heart to have the full understanding. And a curse to those who choose not to obey God's word. And I always pray, O Lord, open up my eyes that I may see something new, that you'd reveal deeper of your truth. Do you have all knowledge? I don't. I think I demonstrate about every time I come up here, I have very little knowledge. Praise God. I'm growing and I'm gaining little by little in knowledge. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Yeshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the earth's kings, to him, the one who loves us and who has freed us from our sins at the cost of his blood, who has caused us to be the kingdom, that is, to be Kohanim for him. What is that? You are priests of the Most High and Holy God. That is who you are. So when Hasatan says you're nothing and you're gross and you're disgusting, say to him, according to Revelation, I am the Kohanim of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Let's continue. His Father, to him be glory and rulership forever and ever. Amen. Rabbi, can you close? Or Haz and Tim, excellent. Thank you for your faithfulness.